Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a T-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, you know that I'm working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep, and I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes
The Bachelor?
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, and it's Friday. So that means this is This Week in Bachelor Nation. But This Week in Bachelor Nation does contain This Week in Gains, and we'll be getting to all the gains of our players. We'll be getting to the ratings of the show. We'll be getting to all that Bachelor Nation news, all those screams, all those parasocial plays that occurred this week. And we're going to be talking about a very interesting thing that is happening in the state of the game, how it is literally changing before our eyes. What can be done by players outside the show. It's an astounding time to be in the nation right now, I feel like. We are really, truly witnessing a massive change in how everything works, and I love it.
Yeah, new updates on the Sauce Wars offensives that are taking on, they're happening right now. Our Digging Deeper is going to be bananas already. This is the one we're going to record next week for a week and a half from now, but today, we are going to talk about the social media that leads into that. But before we get to any of that, we have some official business. Guess what, Clues?
The United States government has finally fully released a crystal clear image of UFOs and aliens?
Nope. I've gone reels viral.
Oh!
Even more important.
Nice.
It is for the video, which I was inspired by, you know, some lovely ladies on TikTok. And In it, I pretend to lower my towel to show my boobs, but instead I'm wearing our Sauce Wars t-shirt. And I've finally gone Reels viral, so...
The old bait and switch. You know,
I'm hoping my parents will put that on the Christmas card this year. 165K views on that one.
That's fantastic. Congratulations.
You know, I'm a new person now, so I thought you needed to know that. And if you would like to peacock in your own Sauce Wars t-shirts, they're still available at gameofroses.co. Get peacocking. And there's history in the Sauce Wars we made this week.
I know. If you've been listening to our program at all, you know the Sauce Wars are ongoing. We first started to identify the Sauce Wars. I don't know how long ago it was. It feels like it was maybe 5 or 6 months ago. We began talking about the idea of the Sauce Wars. Maybe it's even before
it was
that.
Like 3 to 5 years.
3 to 5 years ago? Okay. Well, we've only been doing the podcast for about 3, so I don't know about that. But I think we were talking about it about 5 to 6 months ago. We started to recognize that the official Bachelor Nation podcasts were forwarding whatever the narrative was from the producers from the show itself. Whatever the lies were that the show was promoting, they would then have players go on these official Bachelor Nation podcasts or have the hosts themselves further those lies. And there were some players who would fight back against them. And then there were also fence players who kind of played both sides, like, oh, we're still friends with the show, but also we're going to say the truth every once in a while. And as we started to recognize it, we gave it the name The Sauce Wars, of course, because of Grocery Store Joe, who is a commander on the sauce side of the Sauce Wars. He was selling his tomato sauce all over the place and making social media about it.
All over the Chicago area.
Sorry, all over the greater Chicago area.
Cannot cross state lines. Very
That's
important.
Right. We did find that out. But we called it The Sauce Wars because he was selling the sauce, and he is one of the biggest proponents of towing the company line on the official Bachelor Nation podcast clickbait. So they began then, I feel like, or we at least recognized the beginning, gave it the name, and now it's everywhere. We are in peak Sauce Wars. And so please, if you want to represent your side of the Sauce Wars, get some Sauce Wars merch. Show it to your friends. And when they say, what the fuck is the Sauce Wars? You take them down a 1-hour diatribe about Grocery Store Joe selling his sauce only in the greater Chicago metropolitan area because of certain codes of commerce, I suppose. He can't cross state lines with his sauce. And then you take them even deeper into the pit and you start talking about the suitcase battle, which is going to be the focal point of the first segment of our show.
For all of our fashion accoutrement that we want to place on our bodies, we have the inspiration of your friend is going to go up to you and say, what the fuck is that shirt?
Yeah. And then you get to drag him in. Look, there's nothing that gives me more pleasure than when somebody that is a casual acquaintance or potentially even a stranger asks me, hey, have you ever seen The Bachelor? Oh my God. This makes me come alive in a way I rarely feel anymore at my advanced age in our decaying world. It is one of the purest joys I can get. And to be able to wear a shirt that can potentially create that situation, invoke that in someone else. If somebody else asks you, what is that? They're fucked. They ask the question. Now you get to answer. Don't ask the question if you ain't ready for the answer, motherfucker.
I think that's actually why wedding rings were created, too. It's to peacock about your wife.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, let me tell you about my old ball and chain. As you can see from my hand, this is a great source of conversation topic.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I really love when I get approached, and it's rare these days because usually I am the one to start the conversation, let's be honest. Yeah. But when it happens... Or when you overhear someone talking about The Bachelor and you can just casually go into it and be like, oh, talking about The Bachelor. It's just the greatest thing. It's one of my true pleasures in life. And so hopefully this shirt, the Sauce Wars shirt, will help you experience that pleasure as well.
It's wild that that is your greatest pleasure, because when someone asks me, do you watch The Bachelor? I am filled with dread. I'm filled with dread as what is to come. And I'm like, yes, I watch. Yes, I actually have a podcast about it. And then I'm like, and yes, I actually wrote a book about it. Yeah, it's taken over my whole life. Glad you asked.
I don't get to the podcast and the book until the end of the conversation. I am always like, oh, yes, I do watch it. A lot has been going on.
They just think you're a standard Bachelor Nation lunatic.
No, this is my dragging into the pit strategy. I start out very conversational about whatever the most recent thing is that that person is probably talking about. You know, like, are you watching this season of Paradise?
Are you seeing those UFOs?
I start talking about UFOs. No, I talk about whatever the most recent season is in a very casual way. And then I start threading it back through the history and be like, oh, well, you know, the Hooju, actually, the first time that happened was in season 6. Did you know that? And then we go back and we talk about Mary Delgado and we talk about the experimental era. And I basically give a whole 1 hour long history lesson of the show. And then I take us to where we are now and what the show is, the state of the game. And then I say, and if any of this is of interest to you, you know, there's a podcast called Game of Roses about it. That's where I get all my information. I say it like that. I don't let them know I do the podcast.
Wait, you say it's your favorite Bachelor podcast?
Yeah.
And don't say it's yours? That is so funny. I think this should have been your scream.
I do the bait and switch. Use a towel. You make people think they're going to see some voluntary nudity play, and then it's a sauce wars shirt. I do the bait and switch in the other way. An hour-long conversation where they think I'm talking about someone else, but it's actually me.
That's zero knowing.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, let's get to the first segment of our program. We are talking about how the game is changing and what is changing the game. This is
Game of Roses. State of the game.
As we all saw in the most recent episodes of Bachelor in Paradise Season 8, the Battle of the Suitcase was waged in the Sauce Wars, and the fallout from it on social media, all of the reactions that are now coming out from players that were involved in it, from players that weren't involved in it, everybody's fucking weighing in on this in the nation. We are seeing these reactions revealing that this was a scripted event. We have never seen something like this before, where immediately, as the episode is airing, or within 24 hours of its airing, players are coming out on social media to say this is not real. This is a breach of all of their contracts, and they don't seem to care. And so far, there is no retribution by ABC or the producers or anybody else. I don't think there will be. I don't think there can be, honestly. I think it would look very bad if they sue everybody involved in that because they were just doing what the producer said. Now they're breaking it a little bit by saying that's what we were doing, essentially. This is all fake, but that's where we are.
I wouldn't be surprised if they try to scare them.
Certainly they're getting calls from lawyers and shit like that, but that's very different than here's a fucking lawsuit, you know?
Sure. But I think they know the power of their, you know, threats. I think that that has protected them a lot in the past. It'll be interesting to see. We also had, you know, we had several people who were flight attendants reach out to us and say this would have been a breach of security if they sent a bag without a person. So we've got some experts in the field weighing in.
Yeah, we all know that it wasn't her suitcase, but plenty of people think it was. There is a contingent within the nation that thinks this is real. And I don't know what that percentage is of the fourth audience that thinks everything they see in the program is real, but those people exist. And I think the reason that a lot of these players are coming out on social media saying this isn't real is because they're getting shitty DMs from that contingent of the fourth audience. Mm-hmm. Potentially death threats, at the very least, saying you're a horrible person. How could you go through somebody's suitcase? That type of shit.
Oh, people think that Kira actually used her vibrator. I've seen comments like that. I'm like, what planet are you on?
Planet Earth. The country America. Look, we've been through this. America, by and large, despite the fact that we turn out a massive amount of media, I don't think the people viewing it are that savvy. There's a big chunk of people who watch reality TV, politics, anything they see, the news, and they don't have any critical thought about the fact that none of this is real. And by the way, none of it is. Not the news, not reality TV. It is all faked to get your eyeballs glued to that fucking screen. I'm not saying the news doesn't.
Sir, this is a Wendy's.
My apologies. Okay. So look, this is what we want to do. This is what we want to do.
Got him good.
For our state. We are going to talk about some of these parasocial plays that have been happening in response to the Battle of the Suitcase. We're going to go through the timeline and just give you an idea of the scope of what is actually happening. So the first thing that happened was Marlena Wesch on October 3rd posted to Twitter. This is as the show is airing. It says, and y'all wonder why we be crying every episode. It's because we don't want to get on the producer's bad side and have a vibrator planted in our fake suitcase on national TV. Hypnotized sick emoji. Eyes emoji. I don't know what that is. Melting happy face emoji. Hashtag bachelor in paradise crab emoji. So she here is saying, now she's not on Paradise, but she sees what's going on. And she's been in the game, obviously. She's been a target of producer manipulation, as has every player that's ever come through the game. She says outright here that this is a fake suitcase with a planted vibrator. Now, again, she's not there. She wasn't involved in this. She is just a player from another season saying, here's what's happening, everyone. She then follows it up with a tweet that says, this show is childish as hell for what they did to Sally. Hashtag Bachelor in Paradise, crab emoji. So she's now calling out the producers. Again, not saying the producers, saying the show.
Well, she put producers in the first one.
Correct. But issuing the idea here that they're doing something to Sally on purpose. Like they're throwing her under the bus. They're attacking her in some way. Then we move on. That same night at 8.05 p.m., one grocery store Joseph tweets, opening up someone else's bag, not cool, hashtag Bachelor in Paradise. This is the Sauce Wars.
Can we hear that read in a different accent?
Oh, sorry. Grocery store Joseph on October 3rd, 8.05 p.m., tweets, opening up someone else's bag, not cool. Hashtag Bachelor in Paradise crab emoji. Now, my pleasure. This is grocery store slinging that sauce. He's basically saying this is all real and the people involved in opening the suitcase are piles of shit. That's what this tweet
that's
says.
That's Morris. That's Chilchen. That's Genevieve Parisi. So he's saying it's her real bag and that they have broken into her personal belongings.
Yes. Then 2 minutes later, October 3rd, 8.07 p.m., Jill Chin weighs in. This is on Twitter. Let's use some critical thinking here, guys. Who would bring a vibrator and waffle iron to the beach? Critical, period, thinking, period. So she's not saying it's fake, but she's just saying, come on. The implication is that it's fake. She's not outright saying that didn't happen, but she's like, come on, think about this. This can't be real, essentially. Then, also, 8.07 p.m., this is on October 3rd, Susie Evans joins the conversation. She is, of course, the Ultimate Vikings non-ring winner, non-final rose recipient, final rose recipient.
Yes.
And most recently, his ex-girlfriend. They broke up. And we're going to get to some of that in the news, why they did. It's not a pretty story, and it has a lot to do with the producers and how the show reacts, et cetera, et cetera. But Susie Evans weighs in. If I had to guess, ... this is on Twitter as well, that is not Sally's suitcase. Rolling eyes emoji, hashtag Bachelor in Paradise, crab emoji. So this is someone who has, I believe, no love for the franchise. They have no love for her. And we will get to that again in news. But she's now weighing in saying, this is fake, if I had to guess. So again, there's that little caveat at the beginning. Let me just protect myself legally here. But if I had to guess, that's not Sally's suitcase. She knows.
In my opinion.
Yeah, in my humble. Then we finally have a player involved in the event itself. Genevieve Parisi. She was there. She was, I believe, the player holding, in quotes, Sally Carson's extensions, which were not her extensions. She tweets at 8.07, please look at the clues. Is this really Sally's suitcase? Hashtag Bachelor in Paradise. She's essentially telling us it's not. Why would she tweet this if not?
Look at the clues. Read between the lines. Clues.
I'm trying. It's not between the lines. I mean, it's obvious this didn't happen, but now you have a player involved in the actual incident. Someone in the show as it's airing saying, this isn't real. What you're watching me do right now, I didn't do. It's not real. We've never seen this before. to my knowledge.
And she continues to tweet that night in shock at her edit, perhaps. OMG, so much context left out. Please ignore me. Hashtag Bachelor in Paradise. And then she says, I thought the bathroom was a safe place to hide. Nowhere is safe. Hashtag Bachelor in Paradise. Again, these are vague and general, but she is literally on the show right now. She is the one who's under the harshest contract of anyone.
And then we have Lindsay Windham, player from another season, chiming in. She reposts Marlena Wesch's initial post about the suitcase being fake and says, Marlena keeping it real in reality TV. Also, I'm not watching because it makes me anxious and I know what all happens, but I get spark notes and cheering on my season 26 girls from a distance. So this is... it's just another player who went through, in my estimation, one of the most heavily producer manipulated seasons, Bachelor 26, in the history of the game. Seeing this happening, she's friends with all these people because they were on Clayton's season, and she's basically telling us little messages from them saying what actually happened, so this isn't what happened. Then we get Genevieve Parisi again. Honestly, the amount of times I wanted to leave this place is scary. Imagine 3 hours of sleep and 90% humidity. It's not easy, people. Hashtag Bachelor in Paradise. So she's letting us behind the scenes here at the conditions that they experience while they're there. We know this. Many players talk about this all the time. But she's just kind of hitting the nail again. Then we get Haley Mollis coming in. Excited to watch the rest of the season. As just a viewer with no more anxiety about my edit. She was dismissed in episode 3. That was the Tuesday episode. She is now talking about the anxiety that it gave her. And she's now able to move on with her life free from anxiety. Because
the edit has been set in stone now.
Yeah. And also the idea that like whatever's in the edit was real. And that's what these players are trying to combat. So then we get Justin Glaze, who is on the beach. Fires a shot at Kira, who fights back. In the show, obviously, Kira has talked about how Justin and Sally Carson might have hooked up at Stagecoach. At least they were there, commingling. Canoodling. It looked like they were interested in each other. She says that in the document. To combat that, Justin Glaze then tweets out, LMFAO, Kira was at Stagecoach? This whole story is news to me. Crying, laughing emoji, anything for some screen time, though, I guess. Sigh, hashtag Bachelor in Paradise. Kira then comes back at him. Now, this is peak Sauce Wars shit. You've got two players now fighting over a verifiable fact, something that can easily be proven. Glaze is saying this didn't happen, like you said
on
it did.
Public hashtag Bachelor in Paradise thread. She says, you okay, bro? We had several short conversations while there. Get some glasses and a better attitude. Look at that prescription.
And then Justin Glaze comes back. I'm sorry. I truly don't think we spoke at all. We spoke all weekend. Just odd to speak on and embellish someone's whereabouts and actions so authoritatively that you don't know.
And she said, we definitely spoke. And I was in the 5-person group with Sally all weekend. So I know what I saw. Don't really understand why you're coming at me, but it's all good. Damn, Kira with these receipts left and right. And then she posted a series of Instagram stories at Stagecoach. She posts this 5-person group in response to his tweet, LMFAO, Kira was at Stagecoach. And then she comes in with more receipts the next morning. And she says, Stagecoach was fun, wasn't it? At Justin Glue's cowboy hat emoji. And she has arrows pointing to her and him. 4 people away from each other in a group photo in a pool. Swimming in the same waters.
And then Glaze comes back. We had zero interaction. That's all I was saying. There were a lot of people there that I didn't know or speak to. Wasn't a dig at you at all. So he's now backing up a little bit. She's won this battle of the Sauce Wars here using the images, using the receipts. And in my opinion, what Glaze has done here is a massive parasocial error. If you're at Stagecoach now, as a Bachelor player, really as anyone, everything's recorded 24/7. I saw there's an AI program now that you can upload a selfie and it will find public security footage cameras of you taking the selfie.
Oh my God.
So Justin Glaze, there is no way that you weren't recorded, a million images made of all of this. It just, it serves no point to try and deny it.
Thousands of Snapchat stories. Look, I see the face player.
And then Michael A. gets in on the action, slinging some sauce. I don't know if this was producer prompted or not, but this shit is catching fire. The producers are very aware that all this shit is flying around parasocially, denying that the suitcase is real, the shit between Glaze and Mengistu, all of that they're aware of. So I don't know if they prompted this or not. Nonetheless, Michael Olio then tweets out, this is on October 4th, 11:19 a.m.
This is in response to Genevieve Parisi's tweet that she wanted to leave. It's scary, no sleep.
And then Michael Olio says, yep, I remember waking up next to the ocean, having all your meals prepared for you, spending your day talking to friends and working through our problems in hopes of walking away healthier. It gets harder. Trust me, we aren't tortured. We weren't tortured. We were lucky. Hashtag Bachelor in Paradise. And so that, and I made a post about this as well. It just, to me, again, I don't know if producers forced him to say that or not, but it shows the difference between what that experience can be like for a protected player like Olio and someone like Genevieve Parisi, who they're clearly using to do their bidding. She was in a scripted fucking scene with a suitcase throwing extensions around.
Yeah, Olio did follow up. Oh, Grace Ann tweeted at him. I don't know what her tweet was, but he said, I read it a second time and see your point. It wasn't meant to invalidate her, but more of my take on the accommodations. I sent her an apology this afternoon. My bad. So he hasn't gone full grocery store.
No,
here.
I don't think Olio is malicious in any way. I think it truly is a difference in experience. I think the paradise he is going through is different than what other people are going through. If you come in as a protected player, a player for whom they have written a long, deep run, they want him to get engaged, so he's going to get engaged.
Come in as first sand.
They're going to make that experience as pleasant as possible so that you will want to get engaged. If they don't want you to be engaged, you will not be engaged. I mean, the whole show is scripted at this point. Is basically what we're learning. You have very little opportunity to make moves within the game unless you're willing to do crazy fucking shit. And even that is now not rewarded, as we saw with Kira Mengistu. She did everything they asked.
Robbed.
We then move on. Sally Carson now, who's at the heart of this controversy because it was supposedly her suitcase that they then dressed as a human being in a bikini and laid in the sand and shit. She starts responding to comments on her old Instagram posts that were correcting the edit. Someone says to her, wait, you left someone in a trunk for 4 hours? What the fuck? They could have died. Are you okay? Asking for a friend. And this is in reaction to the sketch, the little skit they did, the reenactment that claimed Sally Carson left a producer or forced a producer to get in a trunk of a car for 4 hours. Sally Carson then replies, that definitely did not happen. Try to remember it's a TV show. Openly saying, this is not real.
Definitely didn't happen. There's no vagueness about that one. We then saw another person comment, Sue ABC, and she responded to this person, what if I could, sweating smiley emoji.
And then at this point, the energy within the nation is at a fevered pitch. The Sauce Warriors, or I should say the Tea Warriors within the Sauce Wars, are like, fuck it, all bets are off. And now we got Teddy Wright posts this Instagram story shading producers about why she really left, because they made her look like a bit of an asshole for not saying goodbye to everybody. They put a punishment in her edit. So she posts this Instagram story that says, something I'm proud of learning. One, leaving environments that are cruel to me and the people around me. Two, sticking to my boundaries no matter how many times people in authority try to cross them. Excited for this next chapter and what the rest of the year will bring. She's talking about the producers here in Bachelor in Paradise. Obviously, leaving environments that are cruel to me and the people around me. Well, she just left an environment, didn't she? We just watched that happen. And sticking to my boundaries no matter how many times people in authority try to cross them. So let me get this straight. Some people in authority tried to cross a boundary. Who might those people have been? The producers. She's not saying it outright, but that is what this is. This is the biggest, in my opinion, scale attack we have seen in the Sauce Wars from players against producers. We saw unionization plays in season 25 when all of the players that season tried to get essentially accountability for Chris Harrison after his racially insensitive and racist comments in that interview he did with Rachel Lindsay. That was a slightly different thing. That was talking about something that didn't happen in the show, and it was not contradicting the document itself. This is multiple players from the edit that they are in saying this is all fake.
And not even just multiple players. I mean, Genevieve Parisi is fourth sand, second female sand. Teddy Wright is sixth sand, third female sand. These are high level players. Obviously, they clearly wanted Teddy Wright to maybe go far with Andrew Spencer. And for her to use her swan song Instagram exit post as the place to basically air this, it's going to have the most eyes on any of her Instagram posts this whole season.
And this is something that is, I think, indicative of another thing that we're talking about. Teddy Wright is a protected player, essentially. She comes into this experience. She is there for 2 days, 48 hours. In that time, she sees something, enough of something to be like, fuck it, I'm out. I don't even want to say goodbye to anybody because I don't want to give you any more footage. That's the only reason to do that, to leave the show without saying goodbye and shit. She was just completely done. She was like, so wait a minute. I start this thing with Andrew. Now they bring in Clancy and everything gets fucked up a little bit. And she could just see the writing on the wall that they were, I think, this is just my humble opinion. I think she could see they were trying to put her in a love triangle. And she was just like, no, I don't want to do this. Bye.
Yeah. I mean, she fled, you know, and they focused on it. They did as much as they could to make her look bad in that episode. A lot of people leave with no big goodbye speech or anything like that. And obviously, well, not obviously, in my opinion, it looks like they were trying to get her to do at least a huge goodbye speech. And she refused to do that. They do not like when people don't play ball. And, you know, these were some incredible parasocial plays. It's hard to pick one. We'll get to some more parasocial plays, but the sauce wars are boiling over.
And it really is a function. The producers, I believe, only have themselves to blame. They have made the villain edits so fucking harsh, and they have made them so moralistic that now if you get one, you're getting insane backlash online. And we'll get to some stories about that as well. And they blame it on social media. They're like, well, social media is mean. It's like, no, it isn't. Social media is not mean. Social media is just a tool for people to express their fucking opinions. If you give them a piece of media saying someone is a piece of shit, they're going to come at you. If you give them a piece of media saying somebody is a great person, they're not going to do that. It's all in the presentation of the document. And the way they present it now is if you're a villain, you're a horrible piece of shit who deserves to be, at least in paradise, run out of paradise and have all your brand deals taken away. That's the precedent they really set, I think, with Brennan Morais and Piper James.
Or in the case of Clayton Eckard.
Yeah.
Dragged through the coals the whole next season.
Yeah, and into paradise.
Have a children's choir sing about how you're a bad person. That's very moralistic, in my opinion.
These producers don't understand the show anymore, and I'm hopeful that what is happening in the Sauce Wars right now with this will fucking wake them up a little bit. I don't know if it will or not, but I applaud all of these players who are coming out with the truth about the suitcase thing, if for no other reason than it's like, it's educational, I think, to some part of the fourth audience who believes this shit is real. And it's like, we can't do that anymore.
If they can lower the volume of death threats. I would say that's like a huge goal of mine at Game of Roses as well, is to lower the volume of
death threats. That would be a good thing. Just try to make the fandom a little less death thready. Yeah. But that's the state of the game. We've got this crazy shit happening in the Sauce Wars with these players coming out and openly refuting the edit. I don't know if this is going to continue to happen in like, what's going to happen in 27?
What edit are we going to get for Sally Carson?
I think they're going to bring her in, and I think she's going to be out of it almost immediately.
I'm like, does she want to sue them based on just the suitcase stuff without her in it, or is there other things that happen? I'm very curious.
I am too. And what I'm more curious about is, A, what's going to happen throughout the rest of the season, because I'm sure we're not done with suitcase type shit. I'm sure they're going to do a lot of other things that are like very overtly fake and pass them off as real. And we'll see if those players stand up to that or not. But I'm also very curious about season 27 of The Bachelor. What are those players going to do? Is this now a new precedent? Has the line been moved for what players can do parasocially in order to try and, in some way, combat the character assassinations that producers do to them in the document?
Yeah, and will they do it for larger storylines? I mean, this is kind of a small or arguably a jokey storyline, you know, or for Razzle Dazzle. What was it that Kira called it?
I don't know. What did she call it?
She answered some Instagram story about the vibrator. It was like, it's TV, great TV or something like
that. Oh, it's got Bachelor Nation buzzing or something like that. She
yeah,
was some pun
got
about
them
it,
buzzing. But thank you for breaking down this timeline with me, Clues. It can be tough to keep up. I saw we had a couple of newcomers to Twitter who basically were like, the Bachelor in Paradise hashtag is going off. So they wanted to enter the fray. Aaron Clancy and someone else said this.
Oh, interesting. Well, we also can't thank Dark Seeker enough for putting that timeline together, going through all the tweets and putting them in order and everything. This is just a very important moment in the history of the game. And like I said, I don't know what's going to happen as a result. I don't know if this will be an isolated incident. We'll never see players do it again, or if it's going to continue to happen again and again and again. Players undermining the validity of the edit.
Is this merely the prologue in the history of the Sauce Wars textbook?
I hope so. But that wraps up State of the Game. We must move on. This has been a very long State of the Game, but a very important one because this is a massively important event. But now we're going to move on to our next segment in which we discuss all of the movements of players on social media with their numbers and the ratings. Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you have sensitive skin, you're going to want to hear about OneSkin's scientifically proven topical supplements. This is face, eye, body, shield, and it can all be used with any of their other products, which are free from over 1,500 chemicals and preservatives that can make skin red, irritated, or itchy. Their products are safe for sensitive skin. It's just one of the reasons they've earned the Skin Safe seal of approval.
You got to keep that skin glowing if you want to be keeping up the level of face play that I've got going on. And OneSkin was founded by an all-woman team of scientists. Their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Their topical supplements are the easiest way to keep your skin healthy and hydrated without the harsh ingredients or irritation found in other skincare products often. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code ROSES. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Gore and tell them that we sent you.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended. This unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered shower head purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you. Clues. Underwear drawers, they're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of Me Undies. And now I want to replace the whole drawer with Me Undies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my
which is not what this ad is about. But I am also wearing the super soft, sustainable modal fabric thong with no rollback waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pays Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. The show. This is...
This Week in...
Games. We begin our games segment as we begin it every week by discussing the ratings. The Monday episode of our beloved game pulled in a 0.56 this week, which was down about 40% from last season's first Monday episode. And it pulled in 2.15 million overall viewers, down about 30% from last season's first Monday show. The Tuesday episode saw a slight decline to 0.54 in the demo with 2.14 million viewers total. Our beloved game came in third across the four major networks Tuesday night behind The Voice on NBC and FBI on CBS. It did manage, however, to edge out The Resident on Fox and Leonardo on the CW, which maintained its pristine 0.0 in the demo.
Poor Leonardo.
No one age 18 to 45 is watching Leonardo.
That's shocking.
I know.
I don't even know what that is. The show is on a different night of the week than it was on last week. It's not that shocking to me that the ratings would go down this much. But what are they doing? Dumping it in October.
Leonardo?
Bachelor.
Oh.
How could they place Leonardo like this? It should You're be like, Thursday night time slot.
Yeah, exactly. Leonardo is must-see TV. That shit should be on at 7:30, right after Jeopardy. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is always when they play BIP, and they have started doing this thing where they're doing Mondays and Tuesdays now. That's a frequent thing every season.
I am calling on them to do it once a week. Monday nights, baby.
Yeah, I'm sure they will heed that call. They got people rolling in fake suitcases full of fucking vibrators, but they're like, you know what? We do too many episodes. We should just stick it to Monday nights.
Yeah, they got a 20-minute bros ad.
By the way, that didn't work. I don't know if you're following any of the news about bros.
Oh, I'm following it.
Yeah, did not do well. And Billy Eichner is, he has some of his own parasocial errors that are going on with his reaction to the opening weekend box office being much lower than anticipated.
It's because they annoyed all the Bachelor fans.
There are long think pieces being written about why the movie didn't do well and Billy Eichner's reaction to it. I encourage anyone to go read them. They're interesting. But we must now move on to the top five gains in Instagram. The gold medal in gains this week goes to Romeo Alexander. He gained 9.4K this week for his Love Square villain play, bringing him to 11.6K total.
The silver medal in gains goes to Serene Russell, first female sand, first sand total. She gained 6.7K this week for her sand placement and coupling with Brandon Jones. She's landed at 63.5K followers total.
The bronze medal in gains goes to Teddy Wright. She gained 6.3K for her swan song exit bump, and she is now at 87.3K total.
Fourth place goes to a three-way tie between Instagram champ and bombshell player Victoria Fuller, utility tears player Sauce Wars champion Genevieve Parisi, and first male sand zaddy Michael Olio, who added 6K pairs of eyeballs to their content this week.
And now let's move on to that top five total Instagram chart for October 6th, 2022. Victoria Fuller sits on the throne on top of the mountain with 586K.
Andrew Spencer is in second place at 311K.
Michael Olio has that third place on lock with 273K total.
Lace Morris is in fourth with 246K total.
And rounding out the top five is
an unnamed player who has not yet entered the game, but this player has 224K.
And now for the top five TikTok chart as of today, Thursday, October the 6th. Brittany Galvin is in first place with 125.1K followers.
Victoria Fuller's in second place with 116.4K.
Andrew Spencer's in third at 81.8K.
Aaron Clancy, the star of Paradise, is fourth at 55K.
And face player Justin Glaze is in fifth at 40.4K. I had no idea Brittany Galvin had such a large TikTok following.
Neither did I, but she's dominating. And I am interested to see where this is going to go. These TikTok numbers are getting, generally speaking, higher. They're starting to be able to contend with the Instagram numbers. I like to see that.
Yes, they're certainly higher than in the regular season.
Yeah. But that wraps up all of our gains. Now we're going to move on to those tids.
This is Bachelor Nation News.
Had kind of a light news week, but an important news week. First up in Bachelor Nation News, perhaps the most important piece of news that has ever transpired in the history of our beloved game. The great one, Nick Vial, has a new book out. Yes, the best player who has ever played the game, bar none, has released a tome of relationship advice called Don't Text Your Ex Happy Birthday and Other Advice on Love, Sex, and Dating. The elaborately titled work is described on Amazon as follows. From celebrity heartthrob. I can't even get through this. You got to read this shit.
From celebrity heartthrob and male goat, doesn't say that, esteemed host of the Vial Files podcast and adored member of Bachelor Nation.
He wrote this.
Adored.
He wrote this.
Nick Vial comes Don't Text Your Ex Happy Birthday, a no holds barred dating advice book. Oh my God. With his trademark charm,
he wrote this,
relationship expertise, and exclusive sex and love Q&A series, Nick guides readers through topics of love, lust, dating, and heartbreak. Nothing is off limits as he delves into situationships. Ooh, he's still young. That part's not in it. How to identify a fuckboy and defining healthy love versus toxic love. Trying to figure out if friends with benefits is worth it. Unsure if they're really into you? Are you worried about the age gap between you and your partner?
Oh, that's not in there. Don't, come on.
Sorry. Is the person you're seeing a walking red flag? Can you come back from being cheated on? Vial is here with all the answers and more. Filled with stories and one-liners, you'll be texting your friends. Don't Text Your Ex Happy Birthday is an honest, entertaining, and heartfelt relationship handbook that actually answers the question, what does it mean when they say ... Congratulations go out to the great one on this literary achievement. Welcome to the Authors Club. Clues will be doing some selected readings from this important contribution to the literary canon of the nation on our Patreon, so look out for that. Are you going to be wearing your Nick Vial wig?
Maybe. I have pre-ordered the book. It has not yet arrived, but when it does, I am definitely going to read it, and I will be doing some readings out loud. I can't imagine a world where he didn't write that description of his own book.
He doesn't write anything.
We've written a book about The Bachelor. All of the promotional stuff, who had to write that? The little descriptions about us, our bios, all of that. It was us.
We didn't have a ghostwriter.
I don't think he did either.
You think he wrote his whole book?
I do, yeah. I think there's no way someone else said wrote from celebrity heartthrob and adored member of Bachelor Nation. Who the fuck's writing that other than him?
His publicist.
Perhaps. Speaking of publicists, what he did on Caitlin Bristow, or what he did on his podcast about Caitlin Bristow, where, and that's going to be in our Digging Deeper too. He has a very recent episode of Vial Files from this week where he basically is shitting on Caitlin Bristow.
Dare he.
Saying that she was like leading him on and all this shit. She was just doing it for the cameras, which, by the way, he did the same fucking thing.
He's doing this for the book clicks.
Absolutely. And it's brilliantly done, in my opinion. Always staying relevant. Anyway, congrats. Great one. Can't wait to read your book.
Disagree. This is not the official Game of Roses position.
Okay, I'll take it as my own. That's fine.
I stand with Bristow. Trigger warning for the next piece of Bachelor Nation news. Just skip forward a few minutes as we discuss suicide.
Up next in Bachelor Nation news, the Ultimate Viking and his ring winner, Susie Evans, appeared on Caitlin Bristow's Off the Vine podcast this week to discuss their breakup and reveal some of the detrimental psychological effects they suffered as a result of playing our beloved game. Eckerd revealed that he experienced suicidal thoughts after his season wrapped and began airing, and it was Evans who helped him overcome them while they were still together, and she continues to be there for him even after the breakup.
Eckerd called the backlash overwhelming and cited it as one of the primary reasons his relationship with Susie Evans couldn't work. He said, "I wouldn't have been held accountable if I wasn't placed in a spotlight where everyone could see every single corner of who I was, every piece of me." About their experience after season 26 aired, Evans said, "There was so much pain and so much hatred towards both of us, individually and then together. And some people liked him and some people liked me. Very few people liked us together."
This is an incredibly important episode of Off the Vine, well worth listening to the entire thing. It sheds a little light on just how terrible the experience can be coming off the show if you're not a protected player, and even worse, if you're not a protected couple. We will be bringing you some clips in our next Digging Deeper out 2 Mondays from now from that episode. It's very important, and this is, it's similar Sauce Wars stuff to what we're seeing in Paradise. It obviously is much more serious and dealing with a much more important issue, the horrible psychological effects that certain players feel when they come off the show. But again, it's them shedding light on these things that are rarely talked about in the nation because the producers don't want players saying this. Mm-hmm. They don't want their leads and their ring winners coming out and saying, "My experience on the show caused me to have suicidal thoughts and destroyed the relationship that the show purports to have created in the first place."
Right, which I think they would consider to be the bigger problem. This is so fucked up and horrible, and I feel for Clayton and Susie in this, and it just sucks. And it's like, you're saying it's more serious than what we were talking about in the Sauce Wars, but we see hints of it, you know? People talking about their anxiety with their edit.
Well, we talk about this, I think we talked about in the fucking recap, the default state of a person coming into Paradise now is not like excitement and, oh shit, what could happen here? It's fear.
Who am I going to see here?
You're just afraid the whole time. Are they getting some footage of me? How are they going to cut this? I think you're thinking about your edit and how you're going to be perceived on the show far more than you are anything else. And that is not the fault of social media. That is the fault of the fucking producers who edit you to look however they want you to look. Villain, fool, right, whatever. It's them creating this. I know the producers think it's because of social media and that this is how the show has now changed because of social media. It's not. It's because of what the producers have chosen to do. The way they're telling these stories, the way they're positioning people, that's the only reason for it.
I mean, I think there are reasons that people will get hate regardless, just for going on the show or just because of racism or something like that. But the majority of the death threats and horrible things that are sent to people are because of the edit.
Yeah, I mean, there's no attempt made, I think, to protect the average player. You'll get your one or two grocery stores or Ollie's or whatever. But like, they don't even protect the fucking leads anymore. It actually seems like the opposite is true. They're trying to destroy the leads. That's their primary goal with leads. And so if even your lead doesn't feel comfortable being on camera, if your lead is constantly thinking about, oh fuck, how are they going to fuck me over? You can't have a show.
And you're again going to get a lower quality of players. You're not going to get a great catch that America's most eligible bachelor to date people. If people are coming off the show and saying that they are having these horrible dark thoughts because of their edit. And it's just going to make the show worse because people aren't going to compete as much for leads who are not as sought after, you know?
Nor are you going to get anybody coming on there doing anything interesting. Because again, everybody's afraid to do anything other than exactly what the producers are telling them to do. But then when the producers tell you to do something like a little crazy, what happens? You have to go look at this fucking suitcase with a vibrator in it. And now you're getting death threats because of it. And now the person who the suitcase was supposedly belonged to, I'm sure she feels however she feels about, like, well, why would they fucking do that to me?
She wants to sue them.
Yeah. if your players don't trust you, especially your leads, how can you ever make this show? And that is the era we're suffering through right now. I mm-hmm. firmly believe that what's happening in the Sauce Wars with all these players coming out and contradicting the edit, I think it's going to help the show. I think the producers have to fucking, at this point, be like, okay, we fucked up. We went a little too far. Maybe they're going to clean house a little bit, shuffle mm-hmm. it around, put a different person on top of that fucking mountain, let somebody else start making the creative decisions about how they're treating players and how they're doing the edits. I think that's going to happen. I think it has to at this point.
I certainly hope so, because reading, like, seeing those clips of Clayton, it hurts my soul. And it hurts the soul of anyone who is in this periphery Bachelor Nation world podcasting about it, etc. Like, we're tired, and we are feeding the zeitgeist. You want people making media about your media to promote your media. You don't want them being like, oh, actually, I'm not even going to post anything about Bachelor because I had such a horrible experience on it.
Yeah, exactly. You need to celebrate the players and celebrate their post-game careers and lives. You need to be celebrating their social media. It's the show has painted social media as a dark, shitty thing. They don't allow your phone in. They don't allow you to post during the shooting time. You can't start posting until the shooting's done. They approve all your posts. They approve all the podcasts you go on. They have, they're so afraid of social media that they have vilified it. They have demonized social media itself. Mm-hmm. But that is wrong. It's not social media. It's your inability to accept it as a major part of this game. That is the problem. At any rate, let's move on. The third and final piece of Bachelor Nation news is good news. Some new humans to celebrate. Bachelor Season 21 ring winner and post-vomit Great One Kiss recipient, Vanessa Grimaldi, and her husband, Josh Wolf, welcomed a baby boy into their family on September 29th, which, by the way, happens to be the same birthday held by the Great One himself. Coincidence? And third place finisher from season 20 of The Bachelor, Kayla Quinn, announced she is expecting her first child with husband Nick Borello. Congrats to all these players as they continue to populate the world with their growing families.
Congratulations. And now for that time in our show where we celebrate the greatest news happening in social media. This is
the Parasocial play of the week.
Ashley and Jared Iaconetti posted a behind-the-scenes vlog of their time in paradise on both of their Instagrams. Jill Chin made a TikTok and captioned it, "Me after week one in paradise," where a voiceover plays, "I want to bomb the place. Like, I want to rip it a new asshole. Like, that's how much I hate Zara," where Zara has been replaced with the word paradise. The video has 10.4K views.
Romeo entered the TikTok fray via lip-syncing the popular RuPaul song, "Is It Me? Am I the Drama?" The video has 7.8K views.
It was hard for us to decide who deserved Parasocial Play this week after all of the Sauce Wars offensive. Is it Kira's Razzle Dazzle post or Twitter receipts war with face player Justin Glaze? Or is it Teddy Wright's incredible swan song exit post shading producers as creating a cruel environment? All of these were excellent plays, but no, there can only be one winner. Our Parasocial Play of the Week goes to fan favorite and innocent, empathetic king legend, Dark Lord Palmer. In an incredible Instagram post this week, he commemorated his 44th journey around our still-alive sun. Dark Lord Palmer posted a 5-slide dark offering in which his wife, whom he is happily married to, hoojoos him. He also included a photo of his dark creature minion, Lulu. The caption reads, "Thank you, everyone, for your thoughtful B-Day wishes, heart emoji, my heart is so full, heart emoji, hashtag birthday, hashtag grateful, hashtag birthday, hooju." To our knowledge, this is the first Dark Lord of all time in the pit. We praise you, Dark Lord Palmer.
Can you believe that? There have been two Dark Lords. We got one of them in the pit. We're 50% on dragging Dark Lords into the pit.
That's an incredible statistic. If it were a baseball, we would be a home run.
Not quite. But there were also some great plays made this week by those creatures. But of course, there can only be one parasocial creature of the week. And it was a canine who has had this award a few times before, Percy. That is Nate Olakoya's dog. He was in a fantastic TikTok this week with his dog uncle, Rodney Matthews. Hilarious face play abounded. We encourage you to go check that out. And now we come to that time in our program in which Pace Case and I descend deep into the bottom of the...
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
To issue our screams, this is
Screams from the Pit!
So I hinted at my scream this week. In my first time doing international travel in 3 years, since the pandemic, I flew across the ocean to Amsterdam, and I dragged my partner in the pouring rain to the exact bench where Gabby Windy dumped Nate Mitchell. It was a long heartbreak scene in the show. It was iconic, and luckily Grace Ann got me the coordinates to try to find it. I am 95% sure it was the right bench, but again, I must reiterate, it was pouring rain.
Yeah.
And I made this video where I was essentially displaying the space, talking about its history, and I feel like this is my scream because I can no longer go on vacation. You know, I took time off the pod. I was very intentional about that. I was like, I need to not do Game of Roses. I need to be out of the Bachelor world. But now I literally can't stop. And everywhere I go, every vacation I take has some piece of Bachelor Nation history. And I feel this pull to visit it, to pay homage. I did this when I went to La Quinta. I did this in Vegas, where the first kiss by Lydia Adams happened. And I'm just like, it's, I don't even know if you can call it a vacation when I can't stop working. We're workaholic now.
Welcome to the club.
I know. I feel like you've done this to me.
Oh, yeah.
You used to be able to take vacations.
My brain just has never stopped, like ever. I don't know how to shut it off, really. It just does it. Call it work if you will. It's just, to me, like, what's happening? But I love this scream. I can't thank you enough for, you know, taking time out of your vacation to go to this. I feel the same way, though. I got to say, if I'm anywhere ever that isn't my living room, I'm like, did something of The Bachelor happen within any proximity to me that I can go see that place? And so if I ever travel again, bet your bottom dollar, I'll be taking some pictures of weird Bachelor shit too, if I can find it. But it was great. I loved your parasocial plays regarding it. And I can't thank you enough. I think it was a fantastic service to the pit.
Thank you. You're welcome. Oh, by the way, Nate Mitchell commented on this post when Grayson posted the video.
I didn't see that. What did he say?
Yeah. I don't know. He was just like, no.
Right.
PTSD. So I might have given him PTSD.
No, hopefully not. Hopefully he's okay. My scream this week involves a certain invitation that I received and how it's affecting my life. As you know, Screams from the Pit is about Pace Case and I descending into the fandom of this show at a deep level to say how it has affected our lives. Pace Case just said, I went on a vacation abroad, yet all I could think about was finding this fucking bench and taking a picture of it. So, in that vein, this invitation that both Pace Case and I have received is to Stefan Lovegrove's upcoming party.
Humble brag.
You know.
I haven't received it yet. I have not. I check my mail once every 6 months, but I will check it for this piece.
He threw his Noel ball for the first time last year. Massive success. All kinds of luminaries from the nation were there.
Power players.
He's doing it again this year. And Pace Case and I are going to go. I can't wait.
I signed up under multiple alter egos in order to secure this ticket.
I cannot wait to attend this event. And I have to say, this is an admission. I wear the same outfit every day. If you have listened to, I believe it was an interview that we did with Dear Shandy, Charlene Joint, Machine Levine, we found, me and her husband, that we share a similar kind of compulsion to just wear the same thing every day. I don't really ever break that unless it's for special occasions. I wore a suit, for example, to our unauthorized book signing at the Grove.
Mm-hmm. You wore a Santa hat when you delivered me grocery store sauce for Christmas.
I was wearing a hat? What?
You put a Santa hat on.
Oh, right. That's true. But I very rarely step outside my uniform.
Or your house.
Or my house, yeah. My house is an extension of the uniform. It's a what I consider to be an accoutrement to my body. Now, Stefan Lovegrove's Noel Ball has a theme. And this is a very formal event. And I have to say, I've never been excited to get some kind of formal attire, to adhere to some kind of theme. I am more excited than maybe I've ever been in my life for anything to do exactly that for this event. I can't fucking wait. I see it almost as a competition. This is my Met Gala. I will turn heads.
You will turn heads. Okay.
Yeah. I will turn heads. I will be the person that everybody else wants to be in a picture with because I'm going to look fucking good. And I've never wanted to do that in my life until now.
Are you going to wear the Juan Pablo jacket?
If I could find that, fuck yes. The Bachelor has put me in this point. Not my sister's wedding. Not any kind of formal event that I...
Did you wear a t-shirt to your sister's wedding?
No, I wore a suit. But I could look. I'd dress up if I need to do it. I'm just saying, there has never been anything that has motivated me to be like, yes, I can't wait to look good for this thing. This event has done that. It is the first time in my life that I am feeling this feeling.
That is bananas, but completely unsurprising. I have some follow-up questions. Are you going to do a glow up? Are you going to get full makeup, hair? Are you going to do your nails?
Maybe I'll wear the Vial wig. No, I don't know that I'll do my nails. I don't know that I'll do makeup or anything like that. I'll probably shave. And, you know, the clothes will be the thing. The clothes make the man, they say.
Guaranteed turn heads. Well, I can't wait to see this happen. Also, turning heads is a very popular Love Island phrase. It means that you're going to get people to leave their partners.
Well, you tell me. We will see what happens at the second annual Noel Ball, but... We can't thank Stefan Lovegrove enough for inviting us, and we are super excited to attend.
My favorite doctor.
It's going to be very fun. But now, we are going to play another scream. This is a scream that comes to us from Anna Darian. She is in our Patreon down at the bottom of the pit with us. And if any of you would like to submit your own scream, you just go to patreon.com/gameofroses. You join us in the bottom of the pit. You're going to get access to our Discord where you can find the channel that allows you to upload a 1 minute piece of audio that can be your scream. We play the best ones here and analyze them. We are going to do that right now. Again, this is a scream from Anna Darian. Here we go.
Hello, fellow pit dwellers, coming in with a vintage scream from the pit. The year was 2003, the bachelor was Andrew Firestone, and I was at dinner celebrating the 6-month anniversary of my very first serious boyfriend. The only problem? It was Monday night. So I very kindly let my boyfriend know that we should probably wrap up dinner soon to get home in time for the bachelor. I was sure he would be on the same page as me because this was a dire situation. Remember, it's 2003. Young dwellers, we did not have Hulu or gore recaps. I would have had to wait 6 months to rent the DVD from Blockbuster, and this was not something I was willing to sacrifice. So we wrap up dinner, go home, and I can see that he's starting to sour grapes all over the night. And I finally ask him if there's a problem. This is when he chooses to tell me, and I quote, "The show is a train wreck." Needless to say, the relationship didn't work out. Praise be the dark seasons.
I love this scream. Pit dwellers reaching into the past to pull one from the archives. Gorgeous, yeah. Gorgeous scream. I also love the phrase young dwellers.
That was hilarious.
Maybe the highlight for me.
Yeah, I am definitely not a young dweller. But yes, there is a differentiation. I agree. I have conversations with people through DM all the time where they say, my first season was this. My first season was this. Increasingly, you're getting my first season was season 24. And that shit is like, now that's a young dweller. I mean, I know we've gone back and done the hyper binge and shit, but I did watch season one as it fucking aired.
So did I.
This is a beautiful scream. And I agree with you. Anybody who doesn't understand your citizenship in the pit, how could that relationship ever work?
No, I mean, you have to have the same values. That's, or at least, you know, your values need to at least some mostly line up, and especially for ones as important as this.
Or at least you have to understand that this is something to be indulged, something to be celebrated. Any deep fandom, not just our beloved game, but if you wind up with somebody who loves a certain sport or a team or a whatever, I'm sure Ashley Iaconetti, for example, doesn't give a fuck about Tom Brady, but Jared Iaconetti does, and so she'll indulge it as long as he puts on an Aladdin hat every once in a while and dances around the living room.
You trade your values.
Yeah, they make a deal. Like, you know, she's going to wear a Tom Brady jersey on Sundays if he puts on the Aladdin suit and fucking does a couple somersaults.
Okay, the middle name of our kid can be this, if you will fulfill this very specific Aladdin fantasy for me.
Yeah. Our kid's middle name can be Tom Brady if you work 20 hours a day in our cafe. That was the deal.
And that's our dating advice.
Yeah. Make deals.
No, I mean, The Bachelor is also about romance. What's more romantic than The Bachelor? Especially season 3 is a real millionaire.
I know. You don't get those too often these days. But thank you, Anna Darian, for this incredible scream. And once again, if anybody out there wants to submit their own scream, you just go to patreon.com/gameofroses, join us in the bottom of the pit, get that Discord, record that scream, and we play them here, obviously, and talk about them. But that's it. Yeah. That wraps up this week in Bachelor Nation. We thank everybody for joining us. We will be back on Wednesday of next week to deliver another recap of 2 full episodes of Bachelor in Paradise. It looks like we're going to have Sally Carson coming on sand. I'm sure there will be some other surprises. And we're going to get this weird implied sex scene between the Iaconettis that I believe ends with her farting on him in the Boom Boom Room.
Why?
It's bad producing.
Why? Why can't... they should be on a double date like Tardik and Bristow were.
Yes, it's a waste of time. A waste of time. The current producers don't understand what this is. They just don't get it.
But we will do our best to give you the best recap in the world because we have The Bachelor as our main and only value, and we will never leave it, no matter what it does to us.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, let's cut to, I'm 75 years old. Maybe the show's still on, maybe it's not. Am I still doing Game of Roses with you? Are we talking about old seasons after it's gone off the air? Probably. You're like, you'll be doing that by yourself.
Yeah, definitely we will, Clues. For sure.
Like, well, me and my 20-year-old child might be doing something else, but...
No, I do not see Game of Roses ever ending. I think it will transform in beautiful ways, like a beautiful butterfly.
Yeah. And I would say this with regard to The Bachelor, whatever it is now, whatever the version of the game is now that exists, I do think it's going to change. And I think it's going to get better. I think they're going to return back to the prestige era to some degree. And I think if they want to do that and they're listening now, the easiest way to do it is to hire Pace Case and I as the showrunners.
Oh, this is our CV.
Yeah. We know more about this game clearly than any producer who's on it currently. And we'd be happy to come in and give you another season 17. I'm 100% sure if I'm given complete control creatively over casting down to the edit.
You want them to hire you as the executive producer.
For one season. What do you have to lose?
Okay.
Have all the other producers there. So the nuts and bolts of it.
If we can be executive producers, yeah. I will take that job. But
for one season. Sure. For one season. It can't be worse than what they're doing now. Their ratings are fucking toileting every fucking year.
Yeah, we're almost reaching Leonardo levels.
Here's what I can guarantee you. ABC, Warner Brothers, NZK. This is my guarantee to you. If you hire me and Pace Case as the showrunners and you give us some real fucking creative leeway with what we're able to do, I can't be beholden to people doing shit edits and doing fucking suitcases with vibrators in it. That can't happen.
And I have a very extensive writer as well. So just put that in there.
Okay. You'll have to appease Pace Case's writer. But if you give us some, if you hire us and give us some kind of creative leeway, I can guarantee you ratings that are higher than the previous season. Whatever that season is, hire mm-hmm. us. That season will have higher ratings. I guarantee it. Now, if it doesn't happen, I can't be held liable in any way, and there is no recourse you can take against me, but that is my guarantee.
That is the word. That is Bachelor Clues' word.
At any rate, thank you again for joining us. And before we go, as always, what is that dwob at?
It has been 7,501 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be Dark Lord Palmer. Happy birthday.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then